From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Last week, the U.S. House of Representatives passed an unusual bill. It sounds a little bit like science fiction. The bill basically tells insurance companies they can't deny you coverage if you have genetic markers for a debilitating disease. This legislation is a sign of how far DNA and genetic testing have come. The government's bill is called the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act. It passed by a vote of 414-1. And for a closer look at the issue, we've got Neil Troutwine, a health lobbyist and the vice president of the National Retail Federation, plus Jamie Brooks. She's a senior analyst on bioethics, law, and society at the Center for Genetics and Society. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's
a pleasure to be here.
So let me start out with one scenario. In the 1970s, the African-American community faced a crisis of genetics. Insurance companies denied coverage to people who had the gene for sickle cell anemia. Some were even tested without their knowledge. So, Jamie, will this act prevent scenarios like this from happening again?
It's certainly a step in the right direction. In addition to the incident that you just mentioned in the 1970s, it's continued to happen. And I think that the genetic non-discrimination legislation will provide litigators and advocates with tools to prevent that from happening in the future.
Neil, do you think this act is the best way to keep doctors and scientists from crossing boundaries that include privacy and ethics?
It never hurts to have clear signposts that essentially set a do not tread position. Certainly the incident in the 70s that Jamie cited is unconscionable. And I think as you look at the breadth of the employer community, we don't want to discriminate on this basis because, you know, which direction is the microscope going to point in? So, you know, I think the question all along while we were working on this legislation was how precisely it was drafted and what are the consequences that can flow from it that are beyond the scope of what we're trying to protect.
Is there anything in the bill as written right now that you don't think should be there or something that's not there that you do think should be there?
We would have preferred there be one clear national standard. Instead, you've got 50 different state standards plus the national standard. So that's going to be a little bit confusing to work with. We worry a little bit about the potential for litigation. If I'm an aggrieved employee, I may want to throw the kitchen sink against my present or former employer. We worry about as well about what we call business necessity inquiries, where we're manufacturing a particular product, and we may want to make sure that our workers are safe in those environments. In fact, we may be under stricture from OSHA.
Well, let me get Jamie in here. When it comes to this bill, I mean, you can certainly respond to Neil directly, but also in general, I would ask the same question of you. What do you think, if anything, belongs in the bill that's not there or should be taken out that is there?
Well, I have 2 points. In response to Neil's point on litigation and this the genetic non-discrimination legislation opening up businesses to unnecessary litigation, it's a legitimate concern to some extent, but multiple states have already enacted legislation that's very similar to the genetic non-discrimination legislation, and they have not experienced a flood of lawsuits that some of the opponents of GINA are anticipating. I would also say that while the bill is a step in the right direction in terms of protecting one's genetic information and protecting individuals from genetic discrimination, we would like to see life insurance companies included. Right now, they're not included in this bill and have the ability, theoretically, to use the data to discriminate against individuals. Furthermore, the consumer genetic industry, or direct-to-consumer testing, as it's called, is widely unregulated. And in part, the individuals may feel now that if this legislation is to pass, that they have their genetic information protected and partake more frequently or with less concern in direct-to-consumer testing in the retail consumer genetic industry, where it's still widely unregulated.
All right. Let me give you another scenario. Suppose that your family has a history of obesity and type 2 diabetes, which can sometimes accompany obesity. That may or may not be genetic. So would that be covered, do you think, Jamie, if, for example, you didn't know if it was genetically linked or it was just behavior?
Well, I think you hit on something really important there, and it's something that we're seeing in the media. There's a lot of attention and a lot of coverage on genetic information and genetic predispositions to disease, such as obesity and type 2 diabetes. And we do know there are several instances where a single gene or a single gene variant directly corresponds with a medical condition, like sickle cell anemia, Tay-Sachs, for example. But mostly what we know at this point is that there may be a correlation between a gene and a medical condition or disease. And it's far too early for us to discern with any specificity that, you know, a gene or a gene combination is the direct result of a health condition. And so I think, again, you tap into something really important, that our health is a combination of our genes and the environments we live in and how we take care of our health, the neighborhoods we live in. You know, it's wide. There are many non-medical determinants that impact a person's health.
Neil, you mentioned the possibility of lawsuits being one that you're concerned about representing, you know, as you do retailers. But what about specifically insurance companies and life insurance companies seem to be the ones that would bear the brunt of the new legislation, not necessarily other employers? Or if you don't feel that's the case, why specifically do you think everyday employers would really face a lot of burden and scrutiny because of this?
There are actually two titles to the legislation that President Bush is expected to sign. One affects insurers, and I concur with Jamie that perhaps the life industry should be in the scope as well. The second title deals with employment issues. So by statute, it will affect us. What's going to be particularly interesting is kind of the interplay between the new act and employer and insurer efforts on wellness and prevention. We don't want we want to help people get healthier, stay healthier, and in turn they are more productive and help lower healthcare costs. We don't want to be screening people at the employment door or getting into employment decisions based on health status. But generally, we know 3/4 of every healthcare dollar come from chronic healthcare conditions. And one of the things that we're all going to have to look for as this new law goes into practice is that it does not constrain what should be a national effort to get us all to address the environmental side and help make healthier workers.
Jamie, when it comes to law, there's also, with a new president coming in, Republican or Democrat, the possibility that there will be a change in the healthcare system. If that change goes as far as universal health care or something similar to it, how would that shift the debate over these genetic issues?
Sure. It should be no secret that I operate from the framework that health is a human right and a strong advocate for universal health care coverage. That being said, I think if we were to see some form of universal health care implemented, that also is a step in the right direction. I don't think that would negate the need for legislation specifically directed at protecting individuals from genetic discrimination. But it also plays into the United States is one of the few developed countries or with a developed economy that does not provide some type of universal health care coverage, which is in part some of the reason we have concern about genetic information being used against individuals adversely. And having universal health care coverage would indeed continue to provide ways to protect individuals in that way.
Neil, do you have any plans to for your association to lobby or to otherwise try to affect the debate over this bill as it proceeds quite likely into law to get some of the changes you're talking about?
Well, we certainly will be in consultation within the administrative process with the agencies who will write the regulations, principally the Department of Health and Human Services, the Department of Labor, as we always do in the process. I don't think you will see the hallmark issues. I don't think those can be shifted in the legislative process, but we will continue to work to try to make sure that it addresses the particular effort of deterring the misuse of genetic information, providing protections and confidence for individuals that their genetic information will not be misused, but are also not overly burdensome to businesses.
Well, Neil and Jamie, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Neil Troutwine is a health lobbyist and vice president of the National Retail Federation, and Jamie Brooks is the senior analyst on bioethics, law, and society at the Center for Genetics and Society. She joined us from UC Berkeley's Graduate School of Journalism. And just ahead, how the tragedy in Myanmar will affect which countries get aid around the world, plus Emmanuel Jal, a former child soldier who's using song to tell stories about violence, responsibility, and redemption. Akiwala, oh, Akiwala, 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 Aki